Welcome to a virtual tour of the Immaculate Conception Cemetery in East Aurora, New York. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Immaculate Conception Cemetery, which was previously referred to as the Catholic Cemetery or sometimes the Bowman Road Cemetery, is operated by Immaculate Conception Church in East Aurora, New York. It's located just over a mile from the church on Bowman Road near Buffalo Road, and it contains the remains of at least 210 people. Documents, photos, and census data, and newspaper articles, and stories from various sources give us interesting glimpses into the lives of the people buried here. I'm pleased to have this opportunity to share some of these stories with you. The Immaculate Conception Cemetery was established on less than a half acre of land in 1894. However, if you look for them, you may be able to find the graves of at least 18 people who died before that date. You know, long ago, it was a common practice to bury loved ones in one's home. Presumably, some of those deceased people were later relocated to this cemetery. You enter the cemetery through the gate and the fence along Bowman Road. In the middle of the cemetery are the graves of the Ernst family. Among them is World War I veteran Lawrence Ernst, who died in action on Friday, June 14th, 1918, in Belleau, France. Lawrence was East Aurora's very first casualty of World War I. Belleau Wood was a key position for the Germans on the way to Paris. The Battle of Belleau Wood marked the first time that the Marines engaged in fierce combat. In total, 1,064 Marines were killed in action during the 21 days of fighting in this battle. Now, we don't know the exact cause of Lawrence's death, but it was reported that on the night of June 13 and early in the morning of June 14, the Marines were hit with a deadly gas attack by the Germans. But by the end of the three-week battle, the Marines had full control of Belleau Wood. The Marine Corps' outstanding service in the Battle of Belleau Wood proved to the world that the Marines were not going away and added to the legend and lore of the Marine Corps. In honor of Lawrence Ernst, the town named a short street at the Circle Ernst Place. Now, there are at least 10 veterans buried in this cemetery. Some, like Lawrence, served in World War I. Others served in World War II. And still others were veterans of the Civil War. Now, Lawrence is buried here along with his sister Teresa, his brother Jerome, and their parents, Helen and Leonard. Both Lawrence and Jerome were carpenters, like their father. At one time back in 1920, after the old church steeple was struck by lightning, it was their father, Leonard, who erected the replacement cross on the church. The Ernsts used to live on Main Street in East Aurora and later moved to 516 North Street. And some remnants of the Ernst family still reside in East Aurora today. Continuing toward the back of the cemetery, we come across the headstone for Richard Little. Richard was employed as a truck driver for A.R. Gundry, a hauling company in Rochester, New York. In 1937, when he was just 21 years old, Richard died in a fiery accident when the truck he was driving, carrying over 4,000 gallons of gasoline, crashed into concrete signal standards at a railroad crossing on Sheridan Drive in Tonawanda. It was reported that Richard had driven all night to Smithport, Pennsylvania, to pick up a load of gasoline from the Quaker State Oil Refinery. So it's likely that he nodded off just before the accident, which shot flames 100 feet into the air and twisted railroad tracks for a distance of 30 feet. It's believed, however, that Richard Little did not suffer from the flames because he probably was already dead from a fractured skull before the flames consumed him. Just to the right of Richard's grave, several members of the Link family are buried. Christian and Catherine Link had 11 children, including two that became Catholic priests. One of them is Father Aloysius Link, who is buried right here in this cemetery. The Link family is one of the early Catholic families of East Aurora, and Christian Link came to the United States from France and ran a meat market on Main Street in East Aurora for over 25 years. At the back property line of the cemetery is a wooden cross erected in 2021 by the Knights of Columbus. Now, the Christ the King of East Aurora Council of the Knights of Columbus have adopted this cemetery as one of its projects, offering its members services to keep the cemetery looking good. The Knights noticed that there was an old wooden cross laying on the ground that was apparently knocked down with a fallen tree many years ago. Its members donated some wood, crafted the cross, and erected it as a replacement for the almost forgotten cross. In the corner of the cemetery, to the right of the cross, are the plots of the Jacob Kaiser family. Jacob Kaiser was 102 years old when he died and is therefore the oldest person to be buried in this cemetery. Jacob Kaiser was a farmer, and farming was the occupation of many of the people buried here. There are at least 25 people buried here that have worked on farms. Jacob's son, Christopher Kaiser, was a farmer in his younger days in Alma, New York. But later, he moved to East Aurora, where he was in the monument business. I mean, Mr. Kaiser was a stone cutter and perhaps provided some of the very headstones used in this cemetery. He went into business with Joseph Steckmeyer, who's also buried in this cemetery, to form the monument firm Kaiser and Steckmeyer, which is at one time located on the south side of Main Street, just east of Elm Street. Christopher Kaiser was a parish trustee when he bought this cemetery property for $100 from a Mr. Twiss in 1894. He was also part of a church committee that in that same year purchased a house at Oakwood and Payne to be used as a rectory for the parish priests. Some members of the James Reagan family are buried near the Kaisers. James and Margaret Reagan had five daughters. Now, one of them was Juvenilia Reagan. Juvie, as she was called, left us a wonderful gift. You see, she was interviewed quite some time ago, and that taped interview was later transcribed in a book. In that interview, Juvie explained that in 1907, at the tender age of 14, she became employed in Elbert Hubbard's office as an errand girl. Now, here's a sample of what she said in that interview. People worked for a dollar and were glad to get it. They work from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m, 7 days a week. And there was no government handouts or anything of that sort. You were on your own. You took care of your own people. Outside of neighborliness in time of difficulty, you were totally responsible for your own well-being. And I think that's fine. She also said, I can remember very well when potatoes were $1 a bushel. And every fall we got so and so many bushels of potatoes. And that was a big bill. So you had to save a long time before that in order to have the money ready for the farmer. And people got their own meat and processed it and salted it or did whatever they needed to do to secure its safety. And when the first snow fell, you had food enough in the house for the winter. Nearby is the Eggert family. Ferdinand Eggert was born in Germany. He was a shoemaker in East Aurora for many years. Ferdinand and his wife, Elizabeth, are buried here with 5 of their 9 children. Their son, Albion, died shortly after his birth in 1865, the year Abraham Lincoln was shot. Albion is one of at least 34 buried children who are buried in this cemetery, ranging in age from newborn to 15 years old when they died. Albion experienced the earliest known death of all the 210 or so people buried here. President Eisenhower once said, "There's no tragedy in life like the death of a child. Things never get back to the way they were." Some children are buried along the side fence toward the front of the cemetery, including a 3-year-old Sarah Lucado, who died in 1930. And there are babies whose lives were so short, we don't even have a name for them. We have unnamed baby Taylor, who was born and died in 1968. We have unnamed baby Speth. We don't know much about baby Speth. And we have the Weinheimer twin boys. Now, Randy and Raymond Weinheimer both died as infants from a blood disorder that made their blood incompatible with their mother's and causing their mom's immune system to attack their blood cells. On the other side of the cemetery, but still near the front fence, is the burial place for the Putney family, who lived at 400 Prospect Avenue here in East Aurora. Little Richard Putney was just 5 years old when he died in a devastating accident. Richard was one of a group of children that were being escorted to the kindergarten room in what was then the high school building on Main Street and North Grover, where the middle school is today. A bus had just dropped off a load of children from Elma at the school. The policeman, who was on duty at the intersection, had given the bus driver the signal to proceed. But then Richard darted into the street. The policeman was unable to stop the accident before the bus passed over Richard's chest. Oh, his chest was crushed and he suffered numerous other injuries. Along the left side of the cemetery is the grave of Frank Zagrobelny. Born in Chase Mills, New York in 1939 to Polish and Ukrainian immigrants, Frank was the youngest of 13 children. He earned his Bachelor of Science degree in accounting from Niagara University in 1963 Now, while attending college, Frank worked second shift on the construction of the Niagara Power Project in Niagara Falls. Frank became a certified public accountant and worked for Ernst & Young before his retirement. Frank enjoyed his vegetable garden and wood shop at his home on North Street, where he designed and constructed hardwood bookshelves, jewelry boxes, toy boxes, and other treasures for his children and his grandchildren. Frank served on the Christ the King Seminary Board of Trustees for 6 years and was chairman of its finance committee. He was a charter member of the Christ the King of East Aurora Council of the Knights of Columbus when it was formed in 2002 and remained an active member until his death in 2020, including his role as the council's financial secretary. Frank was a parishioner of Immaculate Conception Church and frequently attended daily mass there. And he put his many skills to work for his church. He advised the parish on financial issues, reviewed bids, painted the parking lot, tightened bolts and screws of the pews and kneelers, and attended to various other tasks that might arise. And for many years, Frank volunteered to care for this cemetery by cutting its grass every week or so. And Frank very much wanted to be buried in this cemetery. As the cemetery appeared to be full, he hired an expert in cemetery burial vault detection to find the last spot suitable for the burial of him and his wife. Upon his death, Frank was cremated, and his ashes are now buried here, just as he wanted. Close by, also on the left property line, there is a rock engraved with the words, "In loving memory of Francis Gentile, Aunt, 926-17-1128-1998. Francis was the daughter of John and Dominica Gentile. In 1914, just 3 years before Francis was born, her parents immigrated from Italy. So I suppose they pronounced their name something like Gentile. Well, the Gentiles, the Gentiles, lived on South Division Street, Buffalo, where Francis had three brothers and a sister. Their father eked out a living working as a trackman for the railroad. Unfortunately, their mother died before the children were grown. Mr. Gentile tried to keep his family together, but after a few years, the children were taken from him because of a lack of adult supervision while he was at work. The two younger children ended up as foster children working on a farm in North Collins. Frances and two of her sisters were placed in orphanages. For some reason, her siblings were then told that Frances died as a teenager, but that was not true. It was only after her death in 1998 that the Gentile family learned that Frances did not die as a teenager, but had moved to East Aurora and actually died at the age of 81. To some, Frances was known as the Flower Lady because she used to water the flowers along Main Street in East Aurora. She lived in a room of a rooming house at 524 Main Street, an address which is today next to Bruce's Automotive, not far from Charlie's Diner. She befriended some ladies who used to meet for breakfast from time to time at the diner. And Frances worked at a laundromat that was then located in the Gray Street Plaza, about a mile away. Sometimes one of the ladies would give her a ride to her job. Now, Frances' obituary said that she was a private, quiet lady who, although she was known by many in East Aurora, died leaving no known family members. How sad. It was later discovered that some of her family were living nearby as close as West Seneca. Not far away on that left property line is the grave of Jacob Balmer. Jacob moved to the United States from Germany and became a farmer in West Falls, New York. On Saturday, July 11, 1903, 38-year-old Jacob was walking on the railroad tracks in West Falls. Quite a distance away, the engineer of an approaching freight train saw him on the tracks. The engineer blew the train whistle. Apparently, Jacob did not hear it. The engineer then applied the brakes, but the train slid along the tracks and struck Jacob, throwing him under its wheels. According to a newspaper article at the time, his body was terribly mangled and death was instantaneous. The remains were taken from under the engine with difficulty. The article also said he is survived by a wife and seven children who are left in destitute circumstances. In the back section of the cemetery to the left of the cross is the burial place for the Marshall family. A total of 23 members of the extended Marshall family have been counted here, including Jacob Marshall, the great-grandfather of Richard Little, who died in that fiery gasoline truck crash. Jacob's nephew, Louis Marshall, was a farmer who provided a valuable service to the church. On Sundays, he used his horse and buggy to provide a local priest with transportation to mission churches. Louis's father, John Marshall, was a veteran of the Connecticut Army in the Civil War. Like many other veterans of the Civil War, his headstone is engraved with the letters G-A-R, which stands for the Grand Army of the Republic. The Grand Army of the Republic was a fraternal organization for veterans of the Union Army, those that fought for the North in the Civil War. John Marshall lived on Pine Street with seven brothers and sisters, his mother, and his stepfather. Now, there was a Catholic priest by the name of Father Miller. The Marshalls graciously opened their home to him, and Father Miller stayed with the Marshalls on Pine Street in 1864 and 1865. As a result, Father Miller is believed to be the first resident Catholic priest in East Aurora. And John Marshall was a busy man. According to the 1900 census, John Marshall's occupation was a stonemason. In the early 1900s, John Marshall was a member of the Volunteer Fire Company, which was then called the East Aurora Chemical Company No. 1. And he was identified as an RD carrier for the post office. Around that same time, he also bought a meat market, which competed with the Kaiser's meat market in East Aurora. This virtual tour of the Immaculate Conception Cemetery. Thank you for joining me today. You're invited to explore these stories and relationships in more detail by visiting the website r716.us/c. That's r716.us/c. You can peruse background information for most of the people buried here, including many of those not mentioned today. You'll be able to review census reports, newspaper articles, family trees, and various other documents that you may find entertaining and educational. And there's maps to help you find the location of the various graves. And when you stop at the cemetery in the future, look for the final burial place for the people you've learned about, and perhaps say a prayer for them. But right now, please join me in a closing prayer. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.